In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. I forgot to put the blue box on, which means nothing was transmitted to you. I preached my heart out yesterday, and I was preaching to myself and to someone on the phone, but I thought I was preaching to you. So today we're going to continue and maybe finish the Acts of the Apostles. Before I do that, I want to tell you about God's love. God loves you so much that if we received all of that love, we wouldn't be able to live. Oh yes, how we need that God the Father would pour out his love upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. How we need that love. You see, we're always looking for that love, and we don't find it anywhere else but in Jesus. And you know, we have this empty space in our heart that only Jesus can fill. Oh, how we need to be washed by the blood of Jesus. How we need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. How we need to feel the love of the Father. I have two friends that are going out to beaches preaching the word of God, and they have a speaker and microphones, and people are listening. I tell you, they're like John the Baptist, bringing people to Christ and Christ to people. That's a wonderful thing. So you pray for my friends. You pray for my friends, Anthony and my memory. Well, you pray for them anyway. You pray for them because they are God's children. They are God's children. They are God's children. Preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God. I'm looking at Acts 27. His name was Ryan, I'm sorry. Acts 27. There was a centurion found in an Alexandrian ship, he found it, bound for Italy, and put us on board, because remember that the word of God that St. Paul had received is going to be preached in Rome, especially to Caesar. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Sidus, and as the wind was against us, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmone. Sailing past it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Haven near the city of Lasea. Since much time had been lost and sailing was now dangerous. Why was there much time lost? Because the winds were against them. The storms were against them. I tell you, maybe the winds are against you, and the storms of life are against you. It's time for you to give your life to Jesus. Oh, yes, you say, but I don't know how. Well, you just say, Lord, I surrender. Lord Jesus, I surrender. I want to be washed clean from the blood of the cross. I want to be washed clean from the blood of the cross. Since much time had been lost and sailing was now dangerous, because even the fast had already gone, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I can see that the voyage will be with danger and much heavy loss, not only of cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to Paul. Paul was given a word from God. We're going to see Paul receiving another word from an angel. Oh yes, how we need people that are prophetic to give us words from God. I remember Vi, my friend Vi, she had cancer. and she was despondent one morning, and the radio snapped on. It was Clinton White, and he said, "You might have cancer, but God knows how to heal you." And you know what? She started to go not only to our church, but to go listen to Clinton White. I tell you how we need God, how we need Him to give us what we don't have. And what don't we have? We don't have peace. Apart from Him, there is no peace. Apart from Jesus, there is no peace. Paul said, since the harbor was not suitable for spending the winter, the majority was in favor of putting to sea from there on the chance that somehow they would reach Phoenix where they could spend the winter. It was a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest. When a moderate south wind began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose, so they weighed anchor and began to call and sail past Crete, close to the shore. But soon a violent wind called a nor'easter. We know nor'easter in England, New England. We know it. It can last for a few days. It's not only wind, but pouring rain or pouring snow. Oh, yes, the nor'easter. Called the nor'easter, rushed down from Crete, since the ship was caught and could not be turned head on into the wind. We gave way to it and were driven by running under a lee of a small island called Cauda. We were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. After hoisting it up, they took up measures to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run on the citrus, they lowered the sea anchor, and so they were driven. We were being pounded by the storm, the nor'easter, so violent that the next day they began to throw over the cargo overboard. Why? Because they want to lighten the ship. And on the third day, with their own hands, they threw into the ship's tackle overboard, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Why? Because the nor'easter was blowing, and no small tempest raged. All hope of being saved was at last abandoned. Have you ever felt that? All hope of being saved was abandoned. Well, the devil's a liar. If you gave your life to Jesus one time, you need to just repent. Go to confession and repent. Yes, he'll let you feel it. Not for you. You did it too many times, whatever it is. And that's not God. God is love. God is love, yes. And he has plans for you. Don't listen to the devil who closed the door to salvation and say, now you've done it again. You're not going to be saved. That's a lie. That's a lie. We just turn back to Jesus. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and thereby avoided this damage and loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you. How did he know that? But only the ship will be grounded. For last night there stood by me an angel of God, to whom I belong, he belongs to God, and whom I worship. And they said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor to do what? To give your testimony. You know what? How do you get people to know Jesus? You give your testimony. You say, but I wasn't delivered from drugs. I don't care what you were delivered from. You were delivered from self-knowledge. You were delivered from pride. You were delivered from arrogance. So yes, you might know how I know all those things, because they all bother me too. You have been delivered from judgment. Oh yes, you have been delivered from judgment. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor, and indeed, God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. In other words, no one's going to die. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have told you. but we will have to run aground on some island. In other words, a shipwreck of the ship. Then the 14th night had come, and we were drifting across the Sea of Adria. About midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land, so they took soundings and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took soundings again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. But when the sailors tried to escape from the ship, that they lowered the boat into the sea on the pretext of putting out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men stay on the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and set it adrift. Oh, yes. This is something. Paul was enduring something, but he heard the word of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, we need people to give us the word of the Lord. We need prophetic people. Oh, yes. Well, Anthony and Ryan came up with this beautiful thing. Someone was smoking marijuana, and they said, "There's no high like the Most High." Hallelujah. Like the Most High, the Lord. There's no high like the Most High. I tell you, God is working through these young people to bring people to Christ and Christ to people. They're like John the Baptist saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Just before daybreak, Paul urged all of them to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have been in suspense and remaining without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will help you survive, for none of you will lose a hair from your heads." After he had said this, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then all of them were encouraged and took food for themselves. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they need to eat because they're going to embark on a shipwreck. Oh, yes, how they need to eat. Let's continue. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. After they had satisfied their hunger, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat into the sea. In the morning, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned to run the ship ashore if they could. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea. At the same time, they loosened the ropes that tied the steering oars. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But the striking of a reef, they ran the ship aground. That's the shipwreck. The bow stuck and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the force of waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none might swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump over the board first and make way for the land, and the rest to follow, some on planks and others on pieces of the ship. In other words, the ship is broken and there's wood in the water, and so they're going to float to the shore. Let's see where they're going. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. They landed in Malta. Do you know, someone told me that in Malta there are so many boys named Paul. Why? Because Paul landed in Malta. And I'm going to tell you, he just didn't land there. He started to preach the gospel. He started to preach the gospel to these people. Oh, yes, Paul evangelized Malta. Who will evangelize Boston? Who will evangelize California, who will evangelize any country, any city, any state? Who will evangelize? Who will go out and tell people that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead? Who will do that? Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me, I want to continue to do it. After we had reached safety, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us unusual kindness since it had begun to rain and was cold. They kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. Paul had gathered a bundle of brushwood and was putting it on the fire when a viper, driven out of the heat, fastened itself on Paul's hand. Oh, yes. Do you remember what Jesus said, that the snakes would not harm you? He's doing a mission. He's not going to be harmed by the snake. Oh, you don't carry snakes. You don't pick them up to just pick them up. That's stupid. But when you're on mission, if you get bitten by a snake, you're going to be okay. And so, when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." It's like the man born blind in John 9. Who sinned, him or his parents? This was not done that anyone sinned, but that the glory of God would be made manifest. He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were expecting him to swell up or drop dead, but after they had waited a long time and saw that nothing unusual had happened to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. So they go from a criminal to a god. And I'm sure he started to preach to them, "I'm no god, but I want to introduce you to God, that he sent his son to die on a cross for you. He sent his son to die on a cross for you, to be raised from the dead. Give your life to Jesus." I'm sure Paul did that. Now, in the neighborhood of that place were islands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us and gave us hospitality for 3 days. It so happened that the father of Publius lay sick in bed with a fever and had dysentery. Paul visited him and cured him by praying and putting his hands on him. That gift God has given to you. We shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. I just received a letter from a man talking about here. His son had come to me who had been involved with fortune telling, and how God has delivered them since he came to me. I tell you, it is time for us to preach the word of God. It is time for us to pray with people. It is time for us to pray for people. After this happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came to be cured. They bestowed many honors on us, and when we were about to sail, they put on board all the provisions that we needed. 3 months later, we set sail on a ship that had wintered at the island called Alexandrian Ship, with the twin brothers as its figurehead. We put into Syracuse and stayed there for 3 days. Then we weighed anchor and came to Regium. After 1 day there, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found believers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. What do you think he's going to do to the believers? He's going to preach for 7 days. Oh, yes. Paul was a preacher man. Oh, yes. He not only celebrated the Eucharist, but he was a preacher man. I tell you, we need preacher men. We need preacher women that would not look down on people, but look eye to eye and say, "You are looking for Jesus, and I want to lead you to Jesus." And so we came to Rome. The believers from there, now we have believers even in Caesar's household, when they heard of us, came as far as the forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. I tell you, this Paul is amazing. This Paul is amazing. He shook off the stupid snake and put him in the fire. This Paul is amazing, and he preaches wherever he goes. You know, I don't think we need to preach. I think we need to share. To share our witness with people so that they would come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have their blood, the blood of Jesus, cover them and go to confession. How we need to confess our sins. Here at St. John the Baptist, 2 days a week, we have car confessions. The priests are in the cars, and the penitents come in their cars, and they go and ask forgiveness for their sins. How wonderful. How wonderful that is. In other words, we can't be touching people because of the lockdown, but we can hear confessions from the car. That's God. That's God doing things like that to Father Matthew. That's God doing things like that to Father Arthur. That's God doing things like that to Father Joseph. That's God doing things like that through the priests, Father Arthur. Oh yes, that's God. Let's continue. When we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. It was a house arrest. Paul received a house arrest. 3 days later, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our ancestors, yet I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. When they had examined me, the Romans wanted to release me because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to the emperor." You see, this is God. He doesn't fear Caesar. This is God working through the apostle. "Even though I had no charge to bring against my nation, for this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is for the sake of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." What's the hope of Israel? The Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. The hope of Israel. He's the hope of the church. The only hope the church has is Jesus. The only hope that I have is Jesus. He's my hope. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's everything to me. They replied, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we would like to hear from you what you think. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." After they had set a day to meet with him, they came to him in his lodging in great numbers. From morning until evening, he explained the matter to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus. I tell you, it's time to convince people about Jesus. Do you know that today? It's time to convince people about Jesus by sharing our testimony. You say, "But I don't have a very colorful testimony." It's yours. It's yours. And St. Peter said, when people ask you why you believe, you give them a reason for your faith. You give them a reason for your faith. "The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word." Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for you. He rose from the dead for you. He just wants your surrender. And you'll see what happens when you surrender. God will open doors for you. Doors. We need doors to be opened in the name of Jesus. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.